The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
I did want to find out what how this is playing in the UK. And I'm delighted to say Matt Lawton is with us this morning to talk to us about this. Matt, you've been covering this in the Times, and you've been covering this story. You did tweet yesterday that you were kind of... you noticed that a bunch of media outlets in the UK didn't cover the story. And we're very interested in this because I guess, ultimately, our suspicion is that that statement on TalkSport was actually aimed at the UK sports audience in particular. And so, therefore, how the UK media covers this is going to be very interesting.
Yeah. The motivation for the tweet was... I realised, you know, I read the papers every morning, and I realised that the Times were actually the only newspaper that carried the story. And I was slightly taken aback by it because I thought the statement was significant, extremely significant. You know, the criminal side that you were obviously discussing with Nicola yesterday, and I don't know Nicola, but I've been avidly following her work since last June. I'd never heard of Daniel Kinahan until Tyson Fury's social media post. But the significance from a sporting perspective was the fact that after Tyson Fury said what he said last June, the messaging was consistent from the promoters to the broadcasters that this is not what it seems, it's not what Tyson Fury suggested. Daniel Kinahan is not involved in this. He is simply, and even MTK was saying this, he is simply someone that advises boxers. And then this statement comes out, and I'm still slightly baffled by the motivation for why he did it. I've heard certain theories that are quite interesting, one of which was just ego, just didn't like being described as someone who merely advises a few boxers and wanted to actually say, no, hang on a minute, I'm Mr. Big here. I'm the guy that's fixing these fights. I'm the guy that is arranging them. You know, I'm making this happen. And I thought the most significant line in it was, I'm giving fight fans around the world what they want. But because the issue that has caused, particularly among broadcasters, is absolute panic. They're not saying very much at the moment, but I am told behind the scenes there are serious concerns about this because of the way it looks. Because when it comes to bidding for the rights for these, for this fight and other fights, there is a risk now, a very obvious risk, that however many millions they're going to pay to broadcast these fights, particularly Fury Joshua, some of that money could be going to a suspected Irish crime boss. And ethically, particularly for a broadcaster like the BBC, that is a big problem. Therefore, I thought, my boss thought at the Times, that's a big story. We stuck it on the back page. Everyone else ignored it, and I found that concerning.
If we just tease that out, that the broadcasters, the main broadcasters in this part of the world who might be involved in showing the fight would be Sky or BT. Now, it's possible It's possible DAZN do it, but Sky are owned by Comcast, and you know, they're a massive global brand, and I can't imagine they would be too keen to be associated with anything that Daniel Kinahan has been accused of in the Irish High Court, for example. It's all very clear and documented, and there's no denying that you know about his involvement in I'm specifically talking about the Fury Joshua fight here. Likewise, I can't imagine that the BT group would take too kindly to the corporate side of that being associated with whatever has gone on in the background. So all of a sudden, that becomes a consideration.
Totally. And what I envisage is happening at the moment is you've got lawyers, you've got boardrooms full of board members, you've got reputational damage consultants, all debating what the hell they do with this situation. Now, I think what they're all rather hoping is that the authorities are able to accelerate a process that does seem inevitable, in that he is brought back to Ireland and faces some kind of legal process. But while that's not happening, there is this very awkward situation. I think awkward is an understatement. I've done a story this morning quoting Stephen Farry, the MP in Northern Ireland, and the reason I went to him firstly, he's been quite vocal on this, and credit to him, but also because, obviously, the Panorama journalists who've received this threat are based in Northern Ireland. And he has said, you know, he has reiterated this morning in the Times what the Irish government said last year, which is broadcasters need to think very carefully, like his words, before they give any legitimacy to a fight involving Daniel Kinahan. And I think it's a massive ethical issue. At the moment, they can possibly, when it comes to it, when it comes to the crunch, when it comes to the question of whether you are going to risk losing subscribers, when you are possibly going to risk not making vast sums of money from people buying the fight, when it comes to the crunch, they might yet hide behind the fact that he has not received any conviction, he's not been arrested, and he's not facing trial. And I think it's a pretty woolly excuse, but that might be the side that they fall on when it comes down to making a decision. But for the BBC, you're talking about licence fee money. And to get the rights to broadcast this fight, you're still talking, even though you're not going to be anywhere near the sums that BT and Sky are paying, you're still talking hundreds of thousands of pounds for their commentary team to cover that fight. And I think they've got there's a big question for them on this.
Becomes a story of public interest in the UK, not that it wasn't already. And that's really interesting. I just want to kind of go back to what you said there, Matt, about there being no coverage on the back pages yesterday in the UK. Is part of that out of fear, Matt, do you think?
I don't know the answer to that at the moment. I have slight concerns. I'm a great believer in solidarity among journalists. I'm a great believer in supporting other people's work. You know, I was right up there with applauding Panorama last week, and I've really made a point of recognising the work that's been done by the crime correspondents like Nicola in Ireland, because I think it's incredibly courageous work, and you know, I take my hat off to all of them. I'm really struggling with that side of it because I think this is the most important story at the moment. You are talking about the biggest fight in British sporting history. You are talking about one of the biggest events in world sporting history. And there is suddenly this element to it. You know, a suspected Irish gangster, threats to journalists. This is big stuff. This is important journalism. And my heart sank yesterday. I just thought, what are all the sports editors? And I've been a deputy sports editor. I was a deputy sports editor at the Mail. Not very long, so I don't know, I was particularly good at it. I didn't particularly enjoy it. I like being on the road. I like being a reporter. But I can't understand the thought processes that led to thinking this isn't news. Because it is news. It's what we should be here for. It's the work we should be doing. And the bit that also worries me, if I'm honest, is that I think some of the boxing journalists and cover boxing in this country have known about Kinahan for a long time and turned a blind eye to it. And I find that sad because I tell you what, if I'd been a boxing correspondent, I've been aware of that, I'd have been straight on the phone to the office. I'd have been asking to write thousands of words. I'd have been speaking to my colleagues in Ireland, and I'd have been saying, what can you tell me about this guy who's in boxing? You know, he seems to be growing in influence. I want to write a piece about this guy. And I'd have done that. And it alarms me that it took Tyson Fury's tweet to actually activate coverage in the UK.
I think the other thing that happened as well is that Bob Arum obviously came out and publicly said that he'd been involved helping to make that fight a reality. And the one thing that struck me, and we went through the statement a good bit yesterday with Nicola and with Kieran Cunningham the day before about how false it was in parts, there may well be some truth to the fact that Daniel Kinahan is involved in organising absolutely massive fights. And the point you made earlier about getting the credit for the work done, That, to me, sounds very credible. And I think Bob Arum has said as much, and so many of the fighters have said as much as well. So, like, there's definitely that element of truth in that, whatever part of the organization or however he did it, he has been centrally involved in organizing and will continue to be involved. That was the other, the future tense was the part of the statement that I found very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing was, look, I was aware that TalkSport had this, you know, the TalkSport are part of our company, they're part of News UK. And I was aware that, excuse me, they had this statement. And obviously, when I first became aware of it and became aware that there was this line about his involvement in fights, I was asking myself, what is the motivation here? Because I knew it would cause major anxiety with the broadcasters. And I was theorizing to begin with. I was thinking, you mentioned the manager. I thought, well, does he just not care about Sky and BT? Are they going somewhere else? Are they going to a different, you know, an overseas broadcaster? Is it just going to be on DAZN? You know, is there a strategy at play here? But then I heard, as I say, a theory yesterday, which does sound credible, which talks to what you just said as well, which is that it was just, he was starting to get a bit annoyed that he's just being sort of packaged as this guy that is standing on the outside giving a bit of personal advice to some fighters in the MTK stable. And I just think he just thought, now, hang on a minute, you know, you're all benefiting from my hard work here. And this is, trust me, that's not my view. But I'm trying to get into his head here, and he has finally decided to break ranks and go against all the messaging that has been out there since last June. And as I say, it has caused major anxiety. And at the moment, the broadcasters aren't saying very much. BT have talked about being concerned by the allegations. I went to the BBC yesterday. They came back to me last night with a statement I found slightly surprising, given that at least one of their colleagues, is currently under police protection with his family. You know, this is serious stuff. You know, people are having to vacate their homes, from what I understand. And yet the BBC came back and just said, we don't comment on broadcasting rights. I thought, wow, is that it? You know, so. It's not going to go away, but the problem is, and this comes back to the media coverage, if you're one of those reputational damage consultants, and I'm not saying for certain that they have been called in, but I would certainly be talking to people like that if I was in their shoes. But if you are one of those advisors on this issue, you'd have been delighted with the newspaper coverage in the newspaper yesterday. You'd been saying, well, look, there's only one paper that even cares about this. So look, I think we can ride this out. I think we can just press ahead, give the punters what they want, give, you know, 25 quid, watch the fight of the century, and we'll just deal with a bit of flack. But it's only the Times that are shouting about it because no one else cares. You know, they're covering the cricket and the football and the rugby, and there's not a line of it in the Daily Mail. There's not a line of it in other papers. To be fair to the Mail, they did run a story online pretty soon after the TalkSport statement went out. But, yeah, it's. I think, you know, we have a duty to keep the pressure on. You know, I went out of my way to track down an MP that would talk about it yesterday because Stephen Farry was actually the first British MP to echo what's been said in the Irish government already. And you know, I put the effort in yesterday to sort of try and maintain the pressure. But I'm pretty sure I'm standing alone again today.
Like, that point about ride it out, the reputation management consultants, their, you know, plan A is like, say nothing, let it play out and see what happens. That's, I think, built off the assumption that ultimately the fight fan who will pay the 25 quid or if pubs are open will go to the pub and watch it there, doesn't really care. Like, fundamentally, sports fans, it has emerged, don't really care about the owners of their clubs or about the nation states that are using their clubs to sports wash. We, as some small pockets of fans have resisted the Glazers, for example, at Manchester United, but ultimately not that many. No, it turns out...
No, absolutely. You've only got to look at the reaction of Newcastle fans to the Saudi deal not going through. You know, that's a classic case. You're absolutely right. They don't care. I've been on your show before talking about doping in cycling. The fans don't care. You know, they just want to watch the show. So yes, that is definitely an issue. The fans just want to watch the fight. Eddie Hearn basically said that last week. I thought, you know, I generally think Eddie speaks very well on these things, but I thought it was an ill-judged statement last week when he sort of said, this doesn't matter. Basically, the world will keep spinning, and this fight will happen. And it's what the fans want. Nobody cares, sort of sentiment. But it's that will help. That will give them. That will encourage them to press on, particularly if it is just isolated journalists who are jumping up and down like angry people in empty rooms.
Yeah. Look, we're nearly done. The point about the BBC is very interesting as well, because they'll obviously have Five Live will do radio commentary of this, and there will be a rights fee handed over for that. And at some point, the taxpayer in Britain, through their licence fee, has to be happy with the fact that they're getting involved in this enterprise. And, you know, it looks pretty clear that this fight, if it goes ahead, will have Daniel Kinahan's involvement in it. Certainly, that's what the main protagonist in Tyson Fury has said in the past.
I think, put it this way, Daniel Kinahan's statement is nearly 48 hours old now, and no one has come out and said he's not involved, right? I think that's pretty significant. Look, I have some sympathy for the broadcasters here. This is not a mess of their creation. It's someone who's come into the game. You know, their relationships, BT's relationship is with Frank Warren and Queensbury. Sky's relationship is with Matchroom and Eddie Hearn. You know, this guy is sort of on the outside of that. But the fact is, it is pretty hard to deny he is involved. He is pulling the strings. And for that reason, there is an ethical decision that's got to be made. And as I say, I don't envy, certainly, you know, the heads of sport at the BBC when it comes to that decision. They were very twitchy about it. I got the sense yesterday when I was asking the questions. And I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're all rather hoping that before June, there is a development on the Irish law enforcement side of things. You know, that would probably do everybody a favour. But we can't possibly, you know, operate on that assumption, because, you know, at the moment he hasn't been charged and he hasn't been convicted of anything. And the Irish police certainly aren't going to tell us when they're planning to, if they're planning to drop into Dubai to get him. You know, it's a really uncomfortable situation. But as I say, I think the overriding sort of theme of this conversation is it's an important story.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein powered chicken bites.